Good morning and welcome to chapel. As we enter this time of worship, I will start with a litany that you can follow along with on number 735 in the blue hymnal. Transforming God, you come to us in expected and unexpected ways, desiring to be known yet remaining a mystery. Make your presence known among us. Confront us. Wrestle with us. Change us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, hey!
Hey, Jordan. Hey.
What are you guys up to?
Nothing too serious.
Yeah, we were just working on some homework, but our brains are kind of fried. Jacob was talking about last week's chapel, too.
Really? It's not too often that I hear folks talking about what happened in last week's chapel. What about that specific one that has got you thinking?
Well, in convocation last week, Lauren referenced a parable from Jesus about a sower sowing seeds in different types of soil. And the story seemed familiar, but I'm not sure if I know what it means.
Right, and just before you walked in, we were trying to recall all the details from the story, too.
Tell me about it. I just remember hearing Lauren bash folks who use John Deere equipment. I want to march to his office and let him know that I came from a loyal John Deere
family. Cut it out, Amy. I was talking about the story of the sower and the seeds, the biblical one. Besides, if you were listening, Lauren ended up marrying a woman from a John Deere family, so I doubt he's all that harsh about John Deere users.
Anyway, none of us could remember where exactly in the Bible the parable came from.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear the story again so we can figure out what exactly it means.
Hey, Jordan, weren't you in chapel last week?
Yeah.
Well, do you think you could remember the story well enough to recite it from memory?
Oh, come on, you got this.
Yeah.
If anyone has got a talent for detailed storytelling, Jordan, it's got to be you.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I can give it a shot. Let's see. I remember it going something along the lines of this. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, that is, the Sea of Galilee, and such great crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood along the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, but since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." That's about all I can remember.
No, that was great. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounded like Matthew 13, 1 through 9, word for word.
Huh. Yeah, no problem. So, do you think any of you are any closer to figuring out what exactly this parable means?
I guess I have a few ideas. The first that comes to mind might be the state of how our spiritual lives are. Like when they mention the rocky soil, I guess that makes me think of all the times where I've ignored God's word, or all the times where God's trying to talk to me and I let all these distractions get to me. And then when they mention the thorns, what kind of idols are in my life? What idols are I feeding, am I just feeding into, yes, that allow God's word that has so much potential to just completely have no fruit?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know though. What do you think, Christina?
Well, when I think about this parable, what sticks out to me is the idea of persistence. Because the sower's going out and he's throwing his seeds and it takes three times. Like, it doesn't grow the first couple times. And that really sticks out to me because when I'm doing something, I tend to give up pretty easily. So, I mean, if it doesn't work the first time, why keep trying? But in this passage, it's like God telling me that if I just keep trying and I'm persistent, he'll be there and he'll help me work it out. So, yeah, That's just what I hear from Jesus.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought about it that way. What are your thoughts, Jacob?
Well, I kind of got this, like, metaphorical, like, crazy idea going on. But I was thinking, like, the seed that's planted is, like, the good news of Jesus. And the good news brings freedom to people and this deep sense of joy. And just like a Christian is a new person in Christ, a plant is like a new creation from a seed, you know? And so just like a plant puts down roots into the soil, a Christian goes deeper into the Word and deeper into the Gospel. And the further the plant grows up, the deeper the roots go down. And the growth lives through many weeks and months and different seasons and stuff. So the plant has to endure all these periods of dryness and wet and wind and hail. And the plant must endure these hardships just like a person would have to endure, you know, grief and gladness and sadness and fear. So, you know, the Word and the joy in some will grow stronger, while in others it might kind of wither because of the seasons and stuff. But eventually the growth produces a yield that can give others growth too.
Yeah. I don't know, that's interesting to me because, like, we all heard the same parable, but we're coming up with different meanings. I wonder if Jesus knew that his listeners would interpret his parables differently, like we did. And I wonder why Jesus even chose to speak in parables.
Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
How do the insights of Jesus enable us to explore the rest of the parables when there's no clear answer? The parables of Jesus are indeed a mystery. As we are looking at parables this year, we define them as everyday stories that invite us to confront our worldview, sense of self, and God without providing easy answers.
But in life and through reading the parables of Jesus, it is easy to get caught up on the complexities of him. It is far too easy to get hung up on the parts that don't make sense, and we can become stale, stagnant, cynical, or even skeptical, debating what it all actually means.
Let's consider what the Pharisees were doing. They were constantly arguing about the law. Jesus made it clear not to be like them. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Instead, in the midst of confusion and complexities, why not lean on God's character and who he is, because we know that he'll never change. We must allow him to reveal his mystery to us, but also be okay knowing that we may not actually be able to fully understand who God is.
The journey may be scary, it may be frightening, but God goes before us and with us in these places. He tells us, be strong and courageous. While in these often obscure places, he becomes more intimately close to us, and he shows us who we are in the midst of the confusion and blur, because he is the only one who can make sense of it all.
Often, God challenges our comfortable, secure, and self-centered lives. Too often, we justify our inconsistencies because listening to God may require us to change the way we live. Are you willing to live a life like this, taking the steps to begin the journey or discovering what God has for you? I would rather live my life leaning on the character of God and goodness of God than anything else in life. I can only hope that you have the same desire within your heart and can be completely surrendered to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just praise you for the moments that you give us to reflect on your word and seek who you are. I pray over each one of these students, faculty, staff, and community members as we enter into this new year, that you would just reveal yourself in new ways, that you would just show us the mystery of your word, but also just continue to pursue us as we pursue you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds to interact with each other in a new and insightful way. We thank you for the many blessings that you're constantly showering upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. And this year, we want to just kind of offer up opportunities for you guys, make them known to you that there are different opportunities to get involved either with campus ministries or with a church, and the best way to do that is to get plugged in. So this Thursday, there's the clubs and organizations in which that, there's also churches that are all open that are going to be there having representatives. So talk to people, think about getting involved in a church. Also, next Tuesday, there's going to be an opportunity in the North Lawn Great Lounge at 8 p.m. There's a small group there where all the campus ministries that EMU has to offer, as well as a number of small groups, are going to be set up for you to sign up for and just talk to people about getting involved and digging into this new year, getting off on the right foot. And at this point, we want to invite up our PAs. Our PAs are our pastoral assistants. And so there are 8 of us on campus who are responsible for a residence hall, but also just a focus ministry on campus. And we want to be resources for you guys throughout this school year, as well as Lana and Brian want to be as campus pastors. So we have Phil, Jordan, Amy, Jacob, Christina, Savannah, Josh, and I'm Jolie. So we just want to make ourselves available to you, as well as the people that are on your halls and around campus, just to be people who you can discuss with, bounce ideas off of, and encourage you.